Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. I'm Kenny, and I am one of the staff members here at SP. You know, there's Pastor Sam Song, Pastor Sam Kim, Pastor Nate, and myself, and now we have Sophia as our intern. And my job here is I'm basically the media, IT, service coordinator, basically whatever needs to get done person. So whatever, however I can serve you guys, right? So Pastor Sam, he is away. He's in the U.S. He's actually attending a pastor conference, and he thought that for this Sunday, it would be a good idea to have a layman preach. So that's just a regular person, regular dude. You know, I'm not a pastor or anything. So I'm up here today to speak to you guys, and it's a real privilege for me, and I'm excited to just share God's word with you, what I feel like God has really placed on my heart for you guys today. So let me just open up in prayer. So close. Father God, Lord, we just thank you for this amazing day, Lord, that we can all gather here and worship you as a body and just really rejoice, God. This is what this day is about, you, Lord. And I just pray for, you know, this message, Lord. I just pray that, I just confess to you, Lord, that this message is nothing, Lord, without you in it, God. So I just pray that every word that speaks, that comes out of my mouth, Lord, it would be your truth and your love that would be communicated, God. I just pray over the congregation and every single person here that you would just speak to us, that they would be able to receive that love, God. And I just pray for ears to hear and a heart to receive just what the Spirit is saying today. I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So just to start off and share a little bit about myself, I'm Chinese. Okay, and I was born and raised in Toronto, Canada. So I'm a CBC. And I grew up going to a Chinese Methodist church. So it was quite conservative, but you know. And I can say, you know, when I first came to this Methodist church, I really loved it. It was probably when I was in kindergarten-ish. And, you know, when you're a kid, okay, maybe this was my desire, but my desire was always to, like, you thought it would be cool to be part of, like, this secret club with, like, secret handshakes and secret sayings. And when I came to, when I first went to church, that's what I thought church was. I thought it was so cool, right? Like, you know, you do communion, it's like this cool thing that you did, and I didn't understand, and then you did worship songs, and I thought, you know, the coolest thing, seriously, the coolest thing I thought was the Lord's Prayer. It was like, I thought it sounded so cool. It's like, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." And when I heard that as a kid, I was like, wow, this is so cool. And I would go home and I would try to memorize it. And then I would, you know, next time I'd recite it with everyone. And it was just, for me, it was this sense of belonging, right? And this real special place for me. But, you know, over time, you know, around grade 5 and 6, I guess I got kind of used to these things, right? And I was a terrible Sunday school kid. I mean, I would show up for the worship because worship was fun. It was singing, right? And then after the worship ended, when it was time to go to Sunday school, I would leave church with my friends, go get ice cream for like about an hour. And then after that hour's up, I would come back and then, you know, get my cup and then like go to the snacks and like fill it up. So that was my weekly Sunday. And, you know, eventually I guess I lost interest and I stopped going to church from grade 6 onwards. So from about junior high school, high school and college, I was without church in my life. I had no God. God wasn't a part of my life. And you know, once in a blue moon, I would still show up to church with my parents. And even when I was there, you know, I thought, I was the coolest person there, right? I was like, yeah, I'm experiencing the world. These people here, they don't know anything. They're in this box and this religion. So anyways, so what did I do with my life? I really tried to have fun, basically, right? I was trying to, I guess, satiate those desires. So that was clubbing, you know, partying, drinking. And, you know, I wanted to expand my world, so I would travel. And when I traveled, what would I do there? I would club, I would drink, I would party, and then I'd be like, yeah, I really experienced the culture, right? You don't just want to sightsee, you want to experience and be in it. So I was like, yeah, my world, I have a huge world, right? So, but I thought I was living it up, but I was pretty deluded. I didn't even know it until much later, but I was like really breaking my parents' heart. Right, they just seeing me live like this was really breaking their heart, and I think finally this lifestyle really caught up to me, and I was in this like real emo state, right? Like emo is short for emotional, right? I was constantly like defining things and like thinking of the why. I wouldn't even do stuff. I'd just be in my room thinking, right? And it would get nowhere, and so. You know, my parents, my family, they were all pretty concerned. They would have, like, I didn't even know, like, behind my back, they'd have, like, secret family meetings to figure out what to do with Kenny, right? So basically what happened was, like, with, through, like, a family. So this was about second year in college. Second year in college. And an opportunity from through my family came up to come to Hong Kong, intern at this Fortune 500 company. And this internship allowed me to travel all over China at different offices, different factories, to set up basically this English program for them. So I thought, yeah, I'll do it. You know, I've never been to China. I want to experience the world and find... you know, meaning of life, right? So I went, and it was great, right? It was amazing. You know, I met people of different culture. Even within China, there's so many different cultures that are so different, right? And I met people of different social economic class, and I felt what it was like to, like, not understand anything. And it was an amazing experience, but at the end of the day... you know, in China, I did the same thing. I would club, I would drink, I would party. But now I also did karaoke, right? Because that was all new to me. So as my internship for that 1 year came up, I came back to Hong Kong. And I was still working at that company. And, you know, my lifestyle was the same in Hong Kong. You know, clubbing, drinking, you know, trying to pick up girls, not working. And... I remember after a long night, as I was going home, I lived in like the mid-levels, and there's these escalators that go up the mid-levels, right? But if it's really late, the escalators shut down. So I remember I was walking home by myself, and then I remember this one, it was like yesterday. I remember walking home, and there was like this pain and emptiness in the pit of my stomach. Right, I felt so helpless, and it really hurt. It would be like if you're so hungry, right, and you just have that hunger pang. But this was so much worse because, you know, I didn't know what I could do about it, right? I didn't know what I could do. So what I did was I just kind of pushed that thought to the back of my mind and basically continued my life doing what I thought would, you know, give me meaning and satisfy me. So anyway, so this lifestyle was happening for a while, and just to fast forward, you know, so this one fateful night, I met this girl, and, you know, she was from Toronto, so we kind of clicked, you know, and then she invited me to another club the following night, because it was a birthday thing. Great life, right? And it was a birthday thing. And so the next night, I went to this birthday thing for this girl. And she introduced me to this guy. And this guy was clearly also interested in her, right? So this guy was Stevie. And Stevie, just so you guys know, Stevie goes to our church. And, you know, so I was like, okay, you know, I'm a nice guy. I still want to get to know him and, you know, not judge him or anything. He might be a nice guy. So I did what you do, you know, to get to know someone. I said, hey, you want to grab a drink? And then he said, oh, I'm not drinking. And I said, oh, why aren't you drinking? And then he said, well, I'm fasting. I'm like, what's fasting? He's like, oh, fasting is basically I'm, you know, for this, you know, 21 days, I'm not going to drink alcohol, and it's something I'm doing with my church, right? So awkward silence, you know. So, oh, I was like, oh, okay. It's like, oh, do you go to church? And I was like, oh, I used to go to church, but, you know, I went when I was a kid. You know, I've been there, done that. He's like, you want to go to church? I'm like, no, I'm good. So awkward silence. And then Stevie said, oh, do you play basketball? And then according to Stevie, I don't remember this, I responded, I love basketball. So he said, hey, you want to play basketball tomorrow? I'm playing with some friends at church. So I said, yeah, okay, I'll go. So the next day, I went to Wan Chai Southern Playground. And that was the first time I played basketball with Tom, Stevie, Pastor Sam Song. And you know, I also brought this German-Korean friend at the time who was also like my party buddy. So he said, oh, I want to go to church. I think my mom wants me to go, right? So as a favor to him, I went along with him to church, came to Solomon's Porch. And, you know, it was good because I actually, you know, got to be really good friends with Tom and Stevie. And they basically became my new clubbing buddies. So Thursday night we would go out, Friday night, Saturday night, and now we had something to do together Sunday, and that was to come to church, right? So, you know, initially my church experience, it was a pretty critical experience, you know, like I was sitting where you guys were, and like during the worship, I'd be thinking, man, these songs are so repetitive. Everyone's getting brainwashed. Man, this is like crazy. And they're like, you know, the PowerPoint wouldn't be like coming on at the right time. I'd be like, so like, what's wrong with people? You just press a button. Who is it? And it was like, well, at that time, we had only one person on staff. So that was Pastor Sam doing the PowerPoint, right? So this was, like, I was, like, you know, didn't matter who was up here. Pastor Samsung, you know, guest speakers, I was very critical. I would have, like, all these remarks and rebuttals in my mind. Like, man, that doesn't make sense, you know? So anyway, so we had this, we had this conference in, this was 6 years ago. We referred to it as Spring Conference, and it was a prophetic conference, right? And for, you know, some of you might be like, oh, what's the prophetic? I've heard this term before. The prophetic is quite simply, you know, God, our Father, just saying encouraging and loving words to us. And in this instance, I mean, ironically, these speakers flew from Toronto to Hong Kong. And in this instance, God spoke through these guest speakers to tell everyone here, like, encouraging and loving words, right? I know it sounds crazy, but it's not. It's very safe and loving. So I checked it out because I was pretty curious. Like, this is kind of different. This is not what anything I experienced at my old church, right? So at the beginning, I came up. I was sitting where you guys were, and they called up some people. Sorry. They called up some people, and I think it was like, it was two girls. One of them might have even been Annie. And, you know, So the person would come up, stand here, and then that the two speakers, Pastor Rob and Pastor Mary, would be here, and they would say something like they pray and like download from the Lord, and they say like, Annie, I just feel like you've been really praying, and you've been praying really hard in that place where no one sees you. You've been crying out to the Lord, and then God is saying, I see you there. I see you, and he's with you. And then, you know, the person here would be like, oh my gosh, that's so true. I have been praying. And then the congregation would be like, the people who knew her would be saying, oh my gosh, she has been praying really hard. That's so true. That's amazing. So, of course, in my head, I'm like, are you serious? Right? I could have come up with that. I could have said everyone here prays. So they decided to demo one more person, come and demonstrate what was going on. They said, hey, you back there with the hat and the green shirt, would you come up? So that was me. So I came up and I was thinking, you know what? This is going to be interesting, right? Because no one really knew me. It was just Tom and Stevie. We didn't really like try to get to know the other people. We were just in our own little like group. So they came up. I came up here and they said, Kenny, you used to go to church when you were young, as a child, you know, and you loved church, and then something happened and you were disappointed. And that's, you know, I kind of lost interest, but really something happened. I was hurt, right? And that's why I stopped going. And then from then on, from, I guess, your childhood throughout your, like, adolescence and adult life, you haven't seeked the Lord. You haven't been going to church. But God wants you to know that he was with you that whole time. And now you've just come back to church, and this church experience at Solomon's Porch will be a completely different experience. So I was like, wow, that's pretty good. That is quite the coincidence. So I was still processing that at the time, because, you know, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I give my life to the Lord. It wasn't like that, right? So the next thing they did was they said, Kenny, we want to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. I was like, okay. So I was just standing there. Said, okay, close your eyes. Because I'm just like staring at them. So close your eyes. So I closed my eyes. They said, put out your hands like this as a symbolic act that you would like to receive the Holy Spirit. I go, okay. I didn't even know what that meant, right? And then as they prayed, something came over me, right? It was just like this presence, I can't really describe it with my words, but this thing came over me, this fuzziness. I mean, I was not scared. I felt safe, something I'd never experienced. And as I held out my hands like this, it was like there was this force field that was wrapped around my arms, and it was like fuzzy, right? So now looking back, like, I was like, oh, that's so weird, right? Like, I just kind of picture almost like God's hands were on my arms, right? And that's what that fuzzy feeling was. So even then, I was just like very cool, like, okay, cool. But I couldn't explain this, right? I couldn't say, oh, this is a coincidence. I had never experienced this. And I remember in my head thinking to myself, you know, as I felt this, I was like, is that you, God, right? And then as I said that, Pastor Mary said out loud, I said this in my head, but out loud she said, that's it, right there. And I was like, wow. Okay, I guess that's God. So from that moment on, my life has completely changed, right? I remember, like, I was just so hungry and so desperate just to learn and, like, figure out who this God was, right? I mean, every service I went to at Solomon's Porch, you know, it didn't matter if it was Pastor Samsung or whoever was talking, I felt like the messaging was like speaking right to me. You know, and the worship, it was amazing. I went to like every church thing that was possible. You know, I did a Bible study every week. We would have like all-night prayers. You know, people would just come. I would just come to every single thing. You know, I did the discipleship GIC, EG, which is experiencing God. I fasted, and it was amazing experience, right? And, you know, this isn't an experience that was just me. This, I think a lot of people were touched by this prophetic conference, right? And everyone was just so hungry and desperate for the Lord. And there was just so much even love among the people, right? Like, we just wanted to fellowship and hang out with each other, you know, just share stories about how God was moving in our lives. So, okay, also just to clarify, you know, to fall in love with this God, you don't have to experience what I experienced, which is, you know, this physical sensation or physical experience. In my instance, like, that physical experience was what kind of started that for me. So just to clarify that. But do you guys all kind of share a similar experience in your life where you had that moment where you're like, so, you know, just can't get enough of God, right? So anyway, 3 weeks ago, we had an anniversary, I guess the 7th year anniversary, and Pastor Kim from the 7th floor came down and he preached on that first love, right? And I, looking back, for me, that first love, I think it was when I was a child, you know, going to that church. I mean, I loved church. I loved, like, the singing and everything. And I was, like, just a sense of belonging. But what happened was I got hurt, right? And, you know, to love is to be intimate and vulnerable and risk being hurt, right? So I was hurt. So what did I do? I put up a wall, right? I shut God out. I shut the church out. But the only thing about putting up a wall is you don't really get healed, right? It's just this wall that is up. So how do you get healed? Well, there is only one way that you will be healed, and that way is Jesus, right? Only Jesus can fully heal you. You know, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," right? So Jesus is not a one-time thing. He is one way. Okay, let me repeat that. Jesus is not one time. He is one way, okay? So what is your relationship with Jesus like? Is it a one-off thing? Is it just that moment when you were so on fire for God? Is that it? Is it once a month? Is it once a year? Is it every Sunday? Is it once a day for that 1 hour? You know, is it just one time or is it one way? So we all know there is nothing better than when we are fully in love with God, right? And like, and fully submitted to God. We know that's the best. So what gives, right? A lot of us reminisce about that first love, sorry. And we remember when we first got saved and remember how on fire we were. So where's that fire? What happened? Well, what happened is that we are no longer risking it to love God, right? When we experienced God for that first time, and for my time, I was in this place where I was so desperate. I was so empty. You know, I had nothing to lose, basically. So basically, I risked it, right? I risked it, and I went after God. And you know what the amazing thing is with God is he is so faithful, right? He met me, right? And he blessed me and all of you with his presence. He blessed you with gifts, right? But sad to say is we've become satisfied and lived through those gifts, right? Relationships, you know, job, money, spiritual gifts, right? So I just want to share, you know, these three things that in my walk with God, right, that has really helped me, so and help us to continually have this love relationship with God. So the first thing is being full, being hungry. Okay, so I don't know about you guys, but maybe this is just something I do with my group of friends, but you know, if I find out I'm going to have an amazing meal, right? Like, it's, like, so good, and especially if it's a big meal, right? What me and my friends will do is we're going to starve ourselves. So that means in breakfast, we probably skip. Lunch, we might have a little bit just so we're not, like, in pain. And then come dinner, oh, man, it's like, the most incredible experience ever, right? And it's so good. If you know you're going to have an amazing meal, you're not going to, 1 hour before that meal, fill yourself up with McDonald's, right? You know, it doesn't matter how good the restaurant is. It doesn't matter if it's like the best restaurant in the whole world, you know, 3-star Michelin, you know, sashimi, wagyu, whatever. If you stuff yourself before that meal, you're not going to have an appetite, right? You're not, that amazing meal is basically wasted. Well, you know, this is the natural. We can all agree. This is science, right? Like, if you fill your stomach, you can't eat more, right? But I submit to you that this is also the case with the spiritual, right? When Jesus went into the wilderness, he fasted for 40 days. And during those 40 days, you know, Satan came to tempt them, basically to get Jesus to eat. And how did Jesus respond? He said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So, you know, there you have it, right? Our desire for God should be more important than our desire for food. Our spiritual hunger is more important than our fleshly hunger. So, you know, being hungry is, it's what it is about. You know, that's why we fast, you know, at the beginning of this year as a church corporately. But fasting should be really more than once a year thing. You know, when Jesus talked about fasting and explained to the people how to fast, he didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast, right? Why? Because it's important to be constantly hungry for God. So being hungry for God is not a one-time thing. It's a one-way thing. Yeah, if you're filled by things of this world, you won't be hungry. If you're full and satisfied, you'll never take a risk, right? And this experience being filled by things of this world, you know, you're filled, but you're not satisfied. You're not feeling fulfilled, or that's my experience, right? So I really encourage everyone to fast, you know, to lay down those things that are so satisfying for you, just so you can be hungry and desperate for God. So the second part to being full and being hungry is you need to eat. You need to respond, right? You know, we worship God a lot of the times, and we're in this place, and we're like, God, I need you. God, I want you. Lord, I'll do anything for you. Right? And God is, I mean, he's happy, right? He's like, that's awesome. I love you. Hey, can you put out your hands? Can you raise your hands? Can you bow down? Can you jump up and down in joy? Because that would make me really happy. And then what do we say? I don't know. Everyone behind me is watching, right? And, you know, that kind of puts a halt to the relationship too, right? But we need to respond, right? Because the amazing thing about God is if you're hungry for God and you respond and eat, you become even hungrier, right? A lot of us have experienced it, right? You're hungry, you have more God, you just keep on getting hungrier. So just to summarize this portion, you know, if you are filled with this world, you will probably be dissatisfied in life. Right? But if you're hungry for God, then you'll feel fulfilled in life. So that's the first part. The second part is submit. This is a really hard one. And, you know, Pastor Sam, he shared 2 weeks ago, you know, the example. We always say, God, use me. And then he uses us. We say, hey, God, that's not how I wanted to be used, right? So even a lot of times, it's not an intentional thing that, you know, our control, right? And just even my last retreat, I really experienced this, you know. You know, all of us, I think we desire this real experience with God, right? We want it to be so authentic. It's not something we just muster up and convince ourselves. We want it to be real, right? So it can really, you know, carry us, right? So I was up during the minute, I was, you know, part of the whole ministry time, and I was on my own, and, you know, I had my hands out and just ready to receive. And, you know, people were praying over me, and I was like, all right. And then I kind of felt a hand on me, kind of giving me a little pressure to fall. And I'm thinking, no! You know, this needs to be an authentic experience. I don't want to fall because of some person. I want to fall because of God, right? So I'm not going to fall. Nope. So, I mean, basically, this is probably what I was thinking the whole time from the time I felt that touch, right? And then I realized, even the way I fall, I'm doing it in my way, right? I need to experience God my way and fall my way, right? So when I realized this, you know, I said to God, God, I don't care if you push me or someone pushes me or I just fall. I don't care how you do it. I just offer you me and you can do whatever you want, right? So I don't even remember if someone ended up pushing, but at that moment, I just fell, right? So I was falling. And then as soon as I hit the ground, it was like this electricity went through my whole body, right? I don't know what happened. I was rolling around. My legs were like doing this like bicycle kick like this. I mean, it was ridiculous. You know how I know? Because people around me were laughing. But to be honest, I didn't care because at that point I just wanted God, right? And God came, touched me, and it was like just God was playing with me, right? He was just like zapping me. So we need to submit, right? Surrender. In Isaiah 55:9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, we need to let God be God and let God do what he wants with us. So this is the third thing. So this is the really hard part. This is probably the most challenging point. So let me just start with this example, okay? Say church at the end of service. You meet a stranger who's next to you. You know, they seem very pleasant, right? Very nice, you know. And, you know, their overall demeanor and look, you know, not sketchy or anything. And, you know, you're talking and, you know, being a good Christian and everything. You say, hey, you want to grab a coffee sometime? And they're like, okay. And so, you know, you have coffee planned and they leave. And then after they leave, you know, people come up to you. Hey, who are you talking to? You're like, oh, I just met them. Well, you know, this person is the biggest backstabber. This person always betrays people, and you know, it's they're gonna hurt you like crazy. And you're like, oh, okay. So how would you respond? You know, are you gonna still love this person? Are you still gonna put yourself out there for this person? Okay, some nods. I think the wise thing is like, no, we're not gonna do that. This person is gonna hurt us. It's going to happen. I'm not going to put myself out for that person. Well, let's see what Jesus does, right? You know, with the apostles, Judas sitting at that Last Supper, right? He called out Judas, and he said, someone's going to betray me. He knew Judas was going to betray him, right? He knows that Judas had already been conspiring against Jesus. But still, he didn't say, Judas, I know what you did. Get out, you know. Lightning on you, apostles beat him up. He didn't say that, right? He still loved Judas. Or even Peter, right? Peter, Jesus called out Peter, hey, you're going to betray me 3 times, right? And Peter's like, no way, Lord, there's no way I'll do it. He's like, okay, whatever. But, you know, Jesus, he knew that Peter was going to betray him. He knew that basically Peter was going to break his heart, right? But still, Jesus, you know, loved his apostles and restored them. So maybe you're thinking, oh yeah, so this third point is called relationship with others, okay? So maybe you're thinking, well, the apostles are different, all right? They needed to do these things so it could be in the Bible, you know? So it needed to fulfill, like, God's plan. So it needed to happen, right? So, well, how about Jesus with us, right? You know, since you guys have met God, had a relationship with God, right? How many times have we disappointed and hurt God. Right? I mean, I keep hurting him, right? And even right now, you know, God knows how you're going to hurt him, how you're going to betray him countless times, but still, he's going to love us. He's going to love you guys unconditionally and never give up on that love. So, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be wise in how we make ourselves vulnerable, right? You need to learn to trust people and do it a step at a time, right? But I'm saying is we need to risk being hurt to love each other, right? To freely love another as Christ has loved us as we disappoint and break his heart as well. So if the worship team could come up here. So we all know that with forgiveness, right, we need to do it, right? You know, it says in the Bible, you need to forgive. Not just once, not just twice. We need to keep forgiving, right? I think everyone can agree with that. And, you know, a lot of us, myself, I noticed this about myself, is we're really smart about it, right? So what happens is we put ourselves in circumstances so we don't need to forgive. What that means is we don't let people in and we don't let ourselves out so that we're ever in a circumstance that we need to forgive, right? So there's never conflict, right? But that's not right. We need to love another, right? That's not love if we don't let people in and give. So I want to share that, you know, I've been at this church for 6 years now. I've been a Christian 6 years. And since coming to this church, I've never been hurt so much in my life, right? I've experienced more heartbreak than I have ever felt. I've experienced more, I guess, betrayal and hurt more than ever. You know, before I came to church, I was this, you know, very laid back, chill, whatever, we'll see type guy, right? And I was challenged to love people at this church, right? So I've been hurt. But as a testimony, you know, God has restored me from all those hurts. You know, every one of those relationships where I felt conflict, confrontation, hurt, God has redeemed those relationships and restored. I love all those people, right? So in the same way, at this church, I've experienced more love in my life than ever before. You know, deeper, wider than I've ever experienced before. So let me just close with this quote. It's by C.S. Lewis. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to be sure to keep it intact, you must give your heart to no one. Lock it up, safe in the coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken, but it will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be safe from all the dangers of love is hell. So let's close our eyes. You know, we were all made in the image of God. And God created us to have this relationship with Him and this relationship with people. That was His plan for us, this perfect plan. So if you're looking back, and you're looking back to that time, you know, with God when you were so on fire, or that time when, you know, at SP or your whatever other church, and you felt like the fellowship was so good back then, right? Then that's a symptom that you're living for that one time in your life. But God, you know, has something more for you, and that is to live with Jesus. Live His way. So this message is meant to encourage you. It's meant to remind you of God's goodness, right? God will never give up on us. The reason we can endure this hurt in our lives is because, and also risk loving, is that God will always be with us. You know, God didn't promise us that we would never suffer, but He did promise that He would always be with us. So I encourage you all to, you know, even though it's hard, right, to lay that wall down, to not give up, to keep loving God, to keep loving people, even if it takes a lot more effort than it used to. So let's just rise to our feet. So I want to open this time of worship as an opportunity for you all to respond, right? Maybe to those who have been hurt, to those who have been satisfied with things of this life, that you would respond right now and let that wall come down. Chris?
I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm laying down my rights, giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song. I'm singing you this song. I'm waiting at the cross. All the world calls you. I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing you, for the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. And I surrender.
And I surrender. All to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender.
And I surrender all to you, all to you.
I surrender.
And I surrender all to you, all to you.
Father God, Lord, you are amazing, Lord. It just doesn't make sense, Lord, that even as we hurt you time after time, Lord, that you would still love us, and never give up on us, and still just be there with us, Lord. We just can never, you know, reciprocate that. And Lord, I just pray for each and every person here today, Lord. I pray those walls that people have put up, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you give them courage, God, to lower those walls. God. And as they respond, Lord God, you would fill them up, Lord. You know, you have called us to something so amazing. You have created us for something so amazing, Lord. And that is to love you, Lord, with all our hearts, minds, and soul, and also love each other, God. So God, I just bless everyone here today, Lord, that they would be touched by you and transformed by you, God, and just be with them. I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, God bless you. So Larry is going to be up here if you guys want to just receive prayer, and we have snacks in the back.